Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're continuing our reading from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 12, the birth of Emperor Parikshit. And today's verse is 28. Jigyasita atma yatarthyo munir vyasa sutad asau hitvedam nripa gangaya yasiti tatha kotupayam. Just a note for those who give class, because Suvas has established a standard that we would like everybody to adhere to, which is we do each word individually from the verse that's on the board, not from the synonyms, because the synonyms sometimes differ from what's on the board that we're going to chant. And if you listen to the classes on Sunday, this was the standard when Prabhupada gave class. Pradyumna was mostly the one who was chanting, and he would always chant from the verse, not from the synonyms. So we'd like to do it that way. Otherwise, you wind up jumping around. You go down to the synonyms, and you have to come back to the verse. And especially when we don't have a screen, when people are just reading from books, it's a little confusing. So we do each word individually from the verse, not from the synonyms. And then we go back and recite it together, put the whole thing together. So, jigyasitātmā yatāhārtyo munirvyāsa-sutādaso hitvedaṁ nirpagāṅgāyāṁ yasyatadha kutopayam jigyasitatma yatatarto munirvyasa sutadaso hitvedaṁ nirpagāṅgāya yasyatadha kutopayam jigyasitatma yatarto Munir vyasa sutadvaso hitvedaṁ nirpagāṅgāya yasyatyadha kutopayam. Please chant. Jigyasitātma yathārtyo Munir vyasa sutadvaso hitvedaṁ nirpagāṅgāyāṁ yasyatadha kutopayam jāsitātmā yātārthyo munirvyāsa sutādaso hitvedaṁ nirpagāṅgāyāṁ yasyatadha kutopayam. Jigyasitama yathartyo munir vyasa sutadaso yasya tadya kutobayam jigyasitatma yathartyo munir vyasa sutadaso hitvedaṁ nirpagāṅgāyāṁ yasyatyādhā kutobhayam. So, Vaishnavins. Jigyāsitāma yathārthyo hitvedaṁ nirpagāṅgāyāṁ yasyatyadha kutopayam. Okay, synonyms. Jigyasita. Having inquired of. Atmayatarthyaha. Right knowledge of one's own self. Munehe. from the learned philosopher. Vyasa Sutat, the son of Vyasa. Also, he, Hitwa, quitting. Idam, this material attachment. Mripa, O king. Gangayam, on the bank of the Ganges. Yasiti, will go. Adha, directly. Akuta Bhayam, the life of fearlessness. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. After inquiring about proper self-knowledge from the son of Vyasadeva, who will be a great philosopher, he will renounce all material attachment and achieve a life of fearlessness. Please repeat. After inquiring about proper self-knowledge from the son of Vyasadeva, who will be a great philosopher, he will renounce all material attachment and achieve a life of fearlessness. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Material knowledge means ignorance of the knowledge of one's own self. Philosophy means to seek after the right knowledge of one's own self, or the knowledge of self-realization. Without self-realization, philosophy is dry speculation or a waste of time and energy. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the right knowledge of one's own self, and by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one can get free from material attachment and enter into the kingdom of fearlessness. This material world is fearfulness. Its prisoners are always fearful, as within a prison house. In the prison house, no one can violate the jail rules and regulations, and violating the rules means another term for extension of prison life. Similarly, we in this material existence are always fearful. This fearfulness is called anxiety. Everyone in the material life, in all species and varieties of life, is full of anxieties, either by breaking or without breaking the laws of nature. Liberation or mukti means getting relief from these constant anxieties. This is possible only when the anxiety is changed to the devotional service of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the chance to change the quality of anxiety from matter to spirit. This is done in the association of a learned philosopher, like the self-realized Shukadeva Goswami, the great son of Sri Vyasadeva. Maharaj Pariksit, after receiving warning of his death, took advantage of this opportunity by association with Shukadeva Goswami and achieved the desired result. There is a sort of imitation of this reciting and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam by professional men, and their foolish audience thinks that they will get free from the clutches of material attachment and attain the life of fearlessness. Such imitative hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is a caricature only. Some of you are ESL, the word caricature, you think of cartoon. When you exaggerate features of a person and make a cartoon. So they exaggerate features of the Bhagavatam in caricature only. And one should not be misled by such a performance of Bhagavatam Saptaha, undertaken by ridiculous greedy fellows to maintain an establishment of material enjoyment. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschachadeshtarine Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tang Sajivam Chadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Abhineshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kaupaturubhya Shakripa Sindhubhya Evacha patitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasadi gaur bhaktivrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare. So repetition is the mother of learning, Prabhupada said many times. And repetition of a good thing is obviously good for us. So this is how we see our new bhaktas. They're learning this Mangalacharya just by repeating it every day. It's there in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the songbook. So to really solidify, you can sit down and recite it. Mangala means auspicious. It's like we have our Mangala Arati. Auspicious. So this Mangalacharya is auspicious. Mantras that are meant to be recited every day. Of course, the most auspicious mantra is the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My ex-wife used to tease me because she said that she would hear me quite often walking around with no bead bag, just saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So actually, I didn't mind. I thought that was great. That the mantra is so much in my consciousness that even without a bead bag, sometimes I just spontaneously start chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, just like I'm chanting japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is the whole idea, is that if we chant the Hare Krishna mantra at least 16 rounds minimum every day, and we chant in the kirtan, and we should eat, sleep, breathe Hare Krishna so that when this our moment of death comes, we can't help but remember, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And this Maha Mantra is non different from the Supreme Lord Himself. It's His incarnation in the age of Kali. It's always there, as been mentioned in previous classes. The Maha Mantra is always there, but it's specifically empowered, imbued with the Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti. So all the potency of the Lord is there in this name. So this is the product of the Hare Krishna movement, is this Hare Krishna mantra. This is what we go out to give to the public. And it's so nice when we go out in Harinam, all of the different major ways of outreach is accomplished with Harinam. The chanting. First of all, visually, people see the way we're dressed. They immediately think, who are these people? If they already know, they think Hare Krishna. And to get somebody to think Hare Krishna, that's a big thing. Otherwise, they're walking around full of anxiety. They're thinking about the girlfriend, the wife, the children, the boss, the money, the this, the that, the government. That's anxiety, anxiety. And then they see a sadhu dressed like this, and oh, Hare Krishna. Immediately, anxiety disappears. So that's the first thing when the Harinam party. So it's very important, those who go out on Harinam, to dress. The dress is important. Some people try to downplay it, but it's important. Prabhupada was asked directly by one new bhakta once, do I have to dress like this? Is the dress important? And Prabhupada said, on the one hand, no, you can dress any way you want. But this Krishna consciousness is a process of surrender. And if from the very beginning you don't want to surrender even to the dress, then where is there any question of surrender? It's a process of surrender. You've joined a movement to learn to surrender to Krishna. So if all the other members of the movement are dressed like this, why not you? You see? We want to maintain our independence, even when we're in a process of surrender. This is not good. It's not a good attitude. If you get arrested by the criminal authorities and put into, like Prabhupada said, we're in jail. It's just like being in prison. You don't have any freedom. They give you a prison suit to put on. You have to put it on. Even before you go to prison, when you come to the court for trial, they're already wearing the orange suit, right? You don't have any choice. So voluntarily put on the orange suit. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong. Some people make it like, that's because they want to blend into society and disappear, be undercover Hare Krishnas. But sometimes, yes, that's required. Sometimes it's required to be an undercover Hare Krishna. But if you're living in a free society, and America at this point is still a free society, at least in terms of your dress, people wear all kinds of stuff. They're free to wear torn up jeans. I mean, like I said before, when I was a child, you'd be totally embarrassed to leave home looking like that. Nowadays, it's commonplace. So you don't want this uniform, the orange uniform of the Hare Krishnas, then you'll wear that uniform, the torn up jeans and the torn up t-shirts, and you think you look cool. You see? Everybody's wearing some kind of uniform. You cannot avoid it. The Hell's Angels, they all wear a kind of uniform, isn't it? Any group that you belong to, the most prominent group in your life, that's how you're going to dress. So the Wall Street bankers, they wear the Wall Street uniform, the suit and tie. If you work in Apple, then you wear the jeans and t-shirt. And if you're in the music industry, then you wear the torn jeans and torn T-shirt. Everybody's wearing a uniform. Why not this uniform? What's wrong with this uniform? Beautiful sari and nice dhoti and kurta. So don't get caught up in this kind of stuff. Yes, on the one hand, it's really not that important. It's not the most important thing. But again, it's a process of surrender. We have signed on to learn how to surrender to Krishna. So part of that surrender is to wear the uniform of a Krishna prisoner rather than a Maya prisoner. Okay? So in this today's verse, 28, is the last in the sequence in which the learned astrologers, Brahmanas, are telling Yudhisthira Maharaj about the future life of Parikshit. Parikshit has just taken birth, so the Jataka Karma is being performed. Learned Brahmanas, they come and they perform a ritual. But they were also learned astrologers. And astrology is one of the angas, the limbs of Vedic knowledge. Prabhupada said in one previous purport that misuse of a good thing doesn't make it bad. So nowadays, astrology is misused in two ways. One way, people don't really know astrology, but they pretend that they do, and they give people all kinds of bad advice. You can find them on just about any corner. Come and get your horoscope told, or, you know, we'll tell you your future. Just give us $35, please. Like that. And they're not necessarily giving proper advice, because they don't know the science of astrology. And on the other hand, how it can be misused in a second way, just like we've heard in, not story, it's a fact, Chaitanya Charitamrita about King Viramvir, who employed learned astrologers to tell him about the travelers through his kingdom, what they were carrying. And the astrologers were so learned, sitting in the king's capital, they could tell, yes, this group is coming through and they have so much wealth, so much jewels, so much gold, whatever. And then he would send out his men to go and attack them and steal their stuff and many times kill them. So this is another misuse of astrology. Also in the case of the Goswamis, we know Sanatan Goswami, when Rupa Goswami left gold coins to get him out of jail. So when he was traveling, he kept some of those coins. And the learned astrologer told the Zamindar of that area, this man is coming through and he has so much gold. So like that, this is another misuse of astrology. So here the learned Brahmanas, they're winding up their predictions based on astrology, not guesswork. Based on astrology, they knew. They compared him to so many great personalities, Manu and Shibi Maharaj and Ranti Dev, and they compared him to so many great souls from the past, and he was going to be like this. They compared him to his grandfather, Arjuna. He's going to be a bowman on the level of Arjuna. So in the next verse, the king will thank them and remunerate them sufficiently. And Prabhupada states that this astrology should go on. In other words, whenever a child is born in our movement, this astrology should be done. Sometimes Prabhupada would downplay it, that whatever is going to happen is going to happen. So it's not like every time something is happening, we run to an astrologer and we want to know. Generally speaking, we don't ask the main question, which is, when am I going to leave this body? When am I going to leave this body? This is inevitable for everyone. Do we want to know? Do we not? How many want to know exactly when and where and how you're going to die? But on the other hand, it's not so important. You're going to die anyway. So knowing in advance isn't going to prevent it. You have to prepare yourself in any case, whether it's coming today, tomorrow, or 1,000 tomorrows from now, you have to be prepared. And the best way to prepare is this Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing about Krishna and chanting Krishna's holy name. And that comes as a package with the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this chanting of Hare Krishna, one of the byproducts is we become fearless. Fearless. We're not afraid. Why? Because we become self-realized. We know that we're not this material body. Parikshit knew, he was reminded from within the womb, because his material body was actually destroyed by that Brahmastra. But Krishna was there and actually gave him another body, and he came out. So just because he took birth in a normal way, just like we did, by the combination of mother and father, doesn't mean that he was a normal soul. He was not an ordinary person. Generally speaking, even when the great souls come from Vaikuntha, from the spiritual world, they still take birth in this normal way. But it's not absolutely necessary. We've heard so many accounts of personalities who took birth in abnormal ways from our point of view. Like the sage who discharged semen that was divided into two parts And from the two parts came Kripa and Kripi. They were not injected into the womb of any mother. Just the semen was passed, and he divided it into two cups. And from the cups, these two children took birth. So it's not an absolute necessity. But generally speaking, even the great souls, when they come in this world, they take birth in this way, the natural way of combination of father and mother. But because Parikshit was already self-realized, he knew before he was born that he was not this body. And he experienced a relationship with the greatest personality, Lord Krishna, in the womb. So he was always looking for Krishna, always looking for Krishna. And this is what we're meant to do also. We're meant to look for Krishna everywhere and see Krishna everywhere. We're meant to understand that everything is Krishna's energy, either the dull material energy or the sentient Tatastha Shakti, the living entities, or the Supreme Lord or his direct expansions. Like we have Jagannath, Baladev, Kijai. Lord Jagannath is Krishna, Baladev, Lord Balaram. So in this way, we're meant to associate with the Lord in his varieties of manifestations. And we associate with the Lord properly in these varieties of manifestations. Everybody's inquiring. Prabhupada said, everybody's inquiring. Where is money? Where is food? Where is sex? Where is... Everybody's looking, inquiring. But we're meant to first and foremost inquire, where is Krishna? What is my relationship with Krishna? How can I reform or reestablish my relationship with Krishna? Because ultimately that's what will make us satisfied. Anything short of that, no amount of money, no amount of prestige, no amount of... all these things are temporary anyway and will be taken away. Just like in the news nowadays, the founder of Amazon is getting divorced. He's the richest man in the world, worth something like $161 billion. But he didn't sign any prenuptial agreement with the wife. So everybody's worried now, how much is she going to get and how is it going to affect Amazon stock? It doesn't matter whether the wife takes it or it's going to be taken away anyway. Nobody gets to take their bank balance with them when they leave. So it doesn't matter whether you left $0 or $161 billion. It doesn't matter. You can't take it with you. So that money, just imagine how much good could be done with that amount of money for spreading Christian consciousness, which is the main activity, or should be the main activity of everyone. This is the order of Lord Chaitanya. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, give them Krishna consciousness. So the Harinam party is so nice for that. Just by looking at us, people become Krishna conscious. They hear the Hare Krishna mantra. Then we have our prasadam distribution team headed by Parvat Muni Prabhu. Wake up Parvat Muni Prabhu back there. Parvat Muni Prabhu is the chief distributor of the prasadam when we're on Harinam. And then we have book distribution. Last night our chief book distributor was Bhakta Josh. Every time I looked around, he was engaging somebody else. This is what we're meant to do. Give them holy name, give them prasadam, give them Prabhupada's books. And in this way, make them fortunate. So I also noticed that our Bhakta Benjamin was for a long time talking to one person. I was wondering what's going on. Because generally the rule of thumb when you're distributing is don't engage too long. If you can't get them to take the book, then Hare Krishna, wish you well, Hare Bol. Move on to the next person. But he was talking to this person. Lo and behold, that person is here. Daniel. Everybody say Hare Bol for Daniel. Daniel. Yeah, I noticed Bhakta Benjamin was speaking to Daniel for like 20 minutes, maybe half an hour. I was wondering what's going on. But here's Daniel. So I asked Bhakta Benjamin, what's going on? Why were you talking to this guy so long? He said, oh, he met us in the same spot about 3 weeks ago, right? He met the Harinam party, and he came back for a second dose. And Bhakta Benjamin convinced him to come to the temple. So here he is, which means his spiritual life is taking off like a rocket. Hare Bol, Jai. Yes. To come before the deity of the Lord is not ordinary. Think of how many millions of people live in the greater Los Angeles area. They say something like 12, maybe 18 million. They don't even know. They guess. Something between 12 and 18 million people live in the greater Los Angeles area. And out of that, what, 40, 50 people are in front of the deities here? So you're on a very, very special track, Bhakta Daniel. Hare Krishna. May Krishna bless you to achieve the ultimate goal. And that ultimate goal, as Lord Chaitanya told us, is prema pumartha, to reawaken that love. Everybody talks about love. Yes, that's what we're all about. We're all about love. But in the material atmosphere, that love gets transformed into lust. Lust for money, lust for sex, lust for prestige, lust. I want for me, 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 me. And yes, I'll give you a little too, but basically it's all about me. Don't forget it. That's the attitude of the materialist. But the spiritualist wants to give. Not in a puffed up way, because what do we have to give? Nothing belongs to us. The philosophy that we're distributing in the form of these books, did it come from us? No. So how can we get puffed up about distributing books? We're just via media, conduit for passing on the knowledge. And same thing with the prasadam. Even if you made it yourself, because sometimes I know Parvati Muni makes the cookies himself, but where did the ingredients come from? Did you make that wheat or that butter or the... No. So everything we do, we're just a conduit. And if we keep that in mind, I've mentioned this past time because it's stuck in my head. One time when the devotee approached Srila Prabhupada and said, you know Srila Prabhupada, when I'm preaching, Prabhupada said, cut him off immediately. What do you mean you're preaching? I'm preaching. You're helping me. So as long as we keep that mentality that we're assistant preachers, then we don't get too big-headed, no matter how much success comes our way. And we're doing it. Yes, we want to be successful for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, not for our own aggrandizement. Especially those who are in the Brahmacharya ashram should always keep that in mind. Brahmacharya is meant to go out and work hard, or they collect as much as possible and bring it home and give it to the Guru. Not that I collect and then I say, well, you know, I did the collection, so let me keep. No, not like that. Everything, every penny goes to the Guru. And then the Guru will spend according to his desire for your maintenance. And if he forgets, we don't get upset. That's the Vedic culture. So, Parikshit, all of these wonderful predictions have been made by the learned astrologers, brahmanas, and in the next verse, Yudhisthira Maharaj will thank them properly by giving them gold, land, cows. But Prabhupada said, a real brahmana is a fit person for collecting charity, but in the very next moment, he gives it all away. So the Brahmin always keeps himself voluntarily poor. They take what they need to maintain themselves, family if there's a family, and the rest they give to proper recipient, not just willy-nilly because I feel good. Oh, I will give it to so-and-so. No, you give to a proper recipient. That's what Brahmana means, intelligent. So using that intelligence, the Brahmana gives to a proper recipient of charity, not just to some guy on a street corner who's going to go buy a bottle of intoxication of some kind. No. Brahmana gives, and in this day and age, it means giving for propagating Krishna consciousness, giving to a proper organization that will use that money properly for spreading Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness is sorely lacking. This is our motivation. No matter how many Daniels we bring home, there's so many other Daniels and Danielas out there. So the devotee never feels satisfied that, oh, now I have... Yes, we feel some satisfaction to bring at least one, even one person off the street to Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet. But there's so many other millions out there. So we always feel the motivation to go out and spread more and more and more and more. We won't be satisfied until everybody is chanting Hare Krishna, till every home has a set of Krishna Prabhupada's books, till every fast food joint is selling prasadam. Yes, why not? Why not? When you're on Sankirtan, you should be able to stop at any 7-Eleven and know that this candy bar has been offered to Krishna. This bottle of milk has been offered to Krishna. Everything, prasadam. Why not? And devotees are very kind-hearted. I remember, you know, I was mostly at the BBT, but sometimes I went out on traveling Sankirtan. And devotees were so kind-hearted, they would go into the supermarket and take out the Brahmin shirt and offer everything except the meat, fish and eggs, and just offer the whole thing so that whoever would buy a loaf of bread would be buying prasadam. Devotees are thinking like that. You still do that when you're traveling? Yeah, see, devotees are kind-hearted. They want everybody to get prasadam. So they would offer up the whole supermarket except for anything that's not acceptable. But then, the next traveling party that came through, I wonder if they realized it was already offered. I don't know. Anyway, my Sankirtan leader, Vishnu Gadar Prabhu, I don't know if you're listening, Vishnu Gadar Prabhu, but he was very, very heavy and very, very stingy. We would hear about other traveling parties who were eating sumptuously all the time, but he was very, very stingy. He would buy tomatoes, dates, and practically that would be it, and make some chapatis. And at our party, we ate very, very simply and frugally. And we would always be Why can't I be in this other party that they hear they have such big feast, at least at the end of the week? Yes, during the week you eat simply, but at the end of the week they would get together and have big feast. And the sad part about it is that he was one of the best cooks in Iskam, probably still cooking somewhere. Vishwagada Prabhu. He pioneered like the sweet and sour subject that many devotees love. I think he was the first one who ever made that combination of sweet and sour flavors in one subject. Anyway, wherever we go, whatever traveling party or not traveling party, home or traveling, whatever we're doing, our first business is to keep ourselves Krishna conscious by following the principles, chanting as nicely as possible. On this point of fearlessness, in the next canto, second canto, Shukadeva Goswami is mentioned in today's verse also, son of Vyasadeva, very great philosopher. He's going to start answering these questions that are being asked by Parikshit before he leaves his body. And in the 11th verse of the first chapter of the second canto, he says, Etan nirbidyamananam ichatam akutobayam yoginam nirpanirnitam harinama anukirtanam. So this harinam chanting, anu, it has to be done following the great souls that came before us. We don't have to dream up any new way of doing anything. Just plug in to what has been given to us. And that's why the Harinam party again is so nice, because you can do everything. Sometimes when you're out traveling, distributing, you may not be able to dress in your brahmacharya vesh, you may not be able to chant. You just have to give them the book and, you know, do it on a one-to-one basis. But the Harinam party is so nice that you can do all of it in one shot. Chant, distribute prasadam, distribute the books. And so, but this has to be done following in the footsteps of those who came before us. Not trying to be too creative and to come up with new ways. And not necessary. Just follow what's been given. So in this verse, Shukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Pariksit that if you want this akutobayam, if you want to be free from fear, then chant. And it doesn't matter which camp you're coming from. Etan nirbidyamananam. Nirbidyamananam means somebody who has no material desires. Don't want anything from this world. Shukadeva Goswami is like that. Born like that. Didn't want to have anything to do. As you know, he stayed in the woman's mother for a long time. Some say 12 years, some say 16 years. However long it was, he was induced to come out by Lord Krishna. He wouldn't come out. Krishna had to come and guarantee him, you will not be contaminated by the material atmosphere. But as soon as he took birth, he left home, because he didn't want to get involved in all this household business. So he just took off for the forest. So he was nirbidyamananam. Etan nirbidyamananam ichatam. That's the next camp. Want everything. Everything I see, I want. I already have a car, but I see a new car. I want that. You see? The latest style of clothing. I already have so many clothes in the closet. I want it. I already 200 pairs of sneakers, but a new Nike comes out. I want it. This is ichatam. Always wanting everything. Whatever. For me. So etan nirbidyamananam ichatam. Okay. Yoginam. Those yoginam means those are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Because they've heard from the scripture, bona fide scripture like Srimad Bhagavatam, and from a bona fide person. As Prabhupada says in the last paragraph, there are some imitators. They have this Bhagavat Saptaha. And the foolish people think that by sitting down and hearing for 7 days, they'll become perfect. No. You're just maintaining this guy by giving him some money for his family life. Real Bhagavatam hearing means every day, Nityam Bhagavata Seva, every single day, hear Srimad Bhagavatam and recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, we all come together for the one verse or multiple verses, if it's a double verse, whatever. But beyond that, we're meant to go out and hear as much as possible, especially in Brahmachari life. You're supposed to hear constantly Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Isha Upanishad drives home the point that everything belongs to Krishna. Everything animate and inanimate is controlled and owned by the Lord. We sometimes forget that. We're thinking, even when sometimes we're in a brahmacharya ashram, we're thinking, this is my iPad, yes, Krishna's given it under your stewardship for some time, but we should never lose sight of who it actually belongs to. And if we remember who it belongs to, then we will use it properly. That's the point. If you're thinking it's mine, then you think you have the option of using it any way you want. No. If you remember that it belongs to Krishna, then you'll use it in Krishna's service. So every car, every iPad, every earphone, everything can be used properly in Krishna's service. The iPhone can carry all of Prabhupada's lectures and all of Prabhupada's books. So wherever you are, you have a minute and you turn it on, and you learn. Try to remember a verse. So that's the homework for today. Second canto, first chapter, text 11. Etan nirbidamananam ichchata makatobayam yoginam nirpanirnitam haryanamanakir. Oh, every brahmacharya, if you don't already know that verse, please memorize it. And I reserve the right to ask you anytime to recite it for me. Okay, we'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Jai. Radharaj Shriman Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivedanta ki jai.
I can't take from you. One of the young men should pick me up. I know. Strange.